Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room, the audio-based app for sports fans and insiders alike. The entire Locked On Podcast Network is over there every single week interacting with you, the fans, because your voice deserves to be heard as well. Download the Locker Room app in the App Store and get in on the conversation today. All right, we got a great one coming up for you here, of course, heading into Friday with a matchup against the Orlando Magic. Doug Norrie and I finally bring ourselves to the place of examining the KD injury, what it could or could not mean, how the Brooklyn Nets organization approaches reporting on their injuries, and if there should be a level of frustration or concern there. Then we get into the matchups. We're going to have Orlando tonight. We're going to have the Washington Wizards over the weekend. Do we have any expectations for these games? Or, as we may realize, are we kind of at the place where wins and losses aren't as important as role identification, rotations, etc.? Beyond that, some other great matchups in the Lock It Up segment where we think about two big Western Conference opponents in the Trailblazers, in the Utah Jazz. I throw some questions out at one Douglas Norrie, and he himself has a Lock It Up that, unfortunately, if nothing else, is an honest assessment of his ability inside of the tech space. But of course, before we dive in on it all on a Friday, it's the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team. You know that it's every single day. I'm Doug Norrie, the owner-operator of DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, but you don't want to type in all those keystrokes, DFSR.com for short. Got you covered for all your NBA betting needs. MLB right around the corner, too. Can't even believe it. Where do the Nets fans lie with baseball overlap? It's probably a lot of Yankees fans, right? I'm not really sure where we are. Yeah. Well, and that's with that answer right there. That's Adam Armbrecht. You know, he's the host. He doesn't care about baseball, football. One giant podcast host. He's also the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster. Buddy, how are we doing on a Friday?
Fantastic. I felt the need to interject and tell you how the overlap is from baseball to basketball. But I'm doing good, man. This is another. We head into a Friday matchup. Obviously, we'll preview a little bit later on the Orlando game. But it's hard to be overly concerned when the Nets just keep winning.
Yeah, that's kind of where we talked about this at length after the game two nights ago against the Pacers, where things weren't really going correctly and they don't have Kyrie and obviously no KD. We're going to get into that in a second. And they just still come out with the victory. And you just kind of sit here again and be like, OK, well, what's the downside? I think we know what the overall downside with this team is, and that is the health of Kevin Durant. So we've been putting this off for the better part of a week now just because, one, there was just some other stuff to talk about. We missed an episode during the week, so that happened. But when we're going to talk about it, and then, you know, you get another win, so you want to talk about that game. So we've kicked the can down the road far enough. But are we at a point now with Kevin Durant where the timeline continues to shift? It's not even so much that it shifts. It's just never been clear to begin with, except for it's a week, we'll reevaluate it. 2 weeks, we'll reevaluate it. Then you go through the All-Star break. You're like, well, that's been an extended absence. But then he doesn't come back from the All-Star break. They say it's going to be another 1 to 2 weeks then. And you see him on the sidelines, and he's kind of dribbling with Kyrie. And he looks, I know it's not the same thing, but he looks okay. But he's clearly not. And now we are, how long has it been? A month since he's been on the court and with no real timeline around him coming back? Like, how concerned? What's your level of concern now? Because it was one thing last week before the All-Star break, and we kind of fleshed it out to where we thought we'd start panicking. And I got to say, I'm probably starting to butt up against the panic mode here.
Well, because I was going to say, what a difference a week makes. You know, the last time, March 15th, so just a few days ago, when you have it say, hamstring expected to remain out another 1 to 2 weeks. That's as they exercise caution. That's what the Nets are framing it as. So, you know, one potentially is just into next week, but 2 weeks, and now all of a sudden you're talking about looking into April. But if I'm going to stick to what I said when we initially discussed it, I believe I eyeballed, and we're going to be close. I said I started to eyeball that April 5th, April 7th. I think that home game against the Knicks and then the Pelicans is the timeline that I put in to say, let's have that basically 15 to 20 game sample size to find your rhythm, to get back into basketball shape and be ready to go. So if I'm holding true to that, it'll probably be another 5 to 7 days before I maybe start to get concerned if you don't hear some things about light workouts for Kevin Durant. But I will add in, you even said it, if you throw in the first round playoff series and there'll be some little extra delay with the play-in games and the extra seeds, you are going to have some additional time here. And though it wouldn't be ideal, I think if you, and this is clearly me trying to massage my way to not being overly concerned, is you could say, well, if he played the last 7 or 8 games of the season and then it bled into the first round of the playoffs, well, he could play another handful there. You're not going to, quote, need him to beat whatever that first round matchup is necessarily. So I guess maybe I'm trying to convince myself that if Kevin Durant only played 10 games before we got to the playoffs, that wouldn't be a terrible thing, but I wouldn't love it. It's not what you call the ideal version of this season playing out before you head into the playoffs.
And that's really the problem, right? Because if you bring him back mid-April, right, we're recording this mid-March, so let's give him another month. And I, by the way, I don't feel like these are unrealistic timelines we can throw out there now. When every time the timeline gets shifted back a week or two, right, like that's just a lot of time. And so, and again, that's like we're going to reevaluate it in 2 weeks. It's not like he's going to hit the court in 2 weeks. Got to be really careful about this messaging, right? Like this is, there's a difference of we'll see you on the court in 2 weeks to, you know, compared to we'll see what we see in a week or two, right?
Like, right, and then we'll tell you what we think we see and when those, that may be seeing him on the court.
And those two things are very different. And as much praise as we've heaped upon the Nets, and they deserve a lot of praise, this team has been awesome this year. The moves they made have been all pretty much correct over the last few years. You know, when it comes to, you know, removing a coach at an unpopular time and probably, you know, ending up with a, you know, possibly an upgrade with Nash, right? Or at least like a tone shift around the team and bringing in free agents that were other teams sort of trash and they became our treasure and they were able to move on into, you know, flip them into other assets. And really almost every move along the way from Sean Marks and company has been a good one. So from that kind of level, you really would be hard-pressed to criticize the Nets at all on just a management standpoint. Where you can criticize the team from a media standpoint is their messaging around injuries. I would say this is the one place where there's been a lacking in terms of forthrightness around what the overall extent of certain injuries are, right? Like, and I think now maybe they just had a couple high profile ones that ended up being like, you know, Kyrie, the shoulder thing. And maybe that was a little bit tough with the player, the Kyrie thing earlier in the season, which was unclear at the time. They might not even have known what was going on with him. That one's really never been totally discussed. So, okay. So maybe you want to pass it over, but now we have this Durant thing. Even this happened with Karis at times, right? With like coming back from the hand injury, I feel like was a protracted timeline. So like, it's not exactly a new thing for this team for you to wonder around the injury stuff around this team. D'Angelo Russell, there was an issue there 2 years ago, right before his surgery, I think. So sorry to just like keep piling these things on, maybe they're not all totally fair, but I'll finish and then you can say it. But that's all I'm saying is when they say these timelines, you can forgive anybody for saying, I'll just trust it when he's back on the court. Like that's it. Like there's no other, at this point, timelines become moot because it's just they just for oftentimes with the Nets the timelines have not matched up with what the reality around the comeback is.
Yeah, and so and I by the way, I agree with you, right? That's been the frustration. And even going back to last year with Kyrie, you still wonder because it was never discussed and you're not going to get this of did Kyrie just kind of say, listen, I'm not going to push myself here, this is a lost season, KD's not going to be a part of this, whatever. So maybe that one from an organization standpoint was, well, we're just massaging our way through this because we don't know, and this isn't even criticism on Kyrie, we just don't know what's going to happen here with this particular player. For this one, I would say, because my question would be, what would you prefer, that the Nets put out a very definitive timeline and then it comes and goes and nothing happens and they move the goalpost again on when you expect them on the court? Or do you want them to live in this ambiguity where it's like, we'll see. A couple of weeks, we'll take a look. You know, 1 or 2 weeks. I don't like it. It can be frustrating, and it does leave me with this angst, especially in a year when you want to be winning a championship, right? So that has me on pins and needles in that regard. And also, though, my red flag or my alert sensors would be going ballistic if the Nets had said, Kevin Durant is going to play on March 13th against Detroit. And then that date comes, KD doesn't play, and they say, Al, unfortunately, he suffered a setback. We're now going to have him play on the 19th against Orlando tonight, right? And then that date comes and goes, and they adjust it. I'm not saying that the way they do it is good, and they certainly are vague and with some intention, it seems. But I don't know if I'd prefer the other route. And maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that comes off a little homer or a little defensive of the Nets. But I don't know what the alternative is to being somewhat vague and just saying, 1 to 2 weeks, we'll check it out and we'll see what it looks like. The alternative is give me a very, very concrete timeline and then being incredibly panicked if he suffered a setback or if that timeline shifted.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that maybe it's just an expectation management thing more than anything mm-hmm. else. Like you're managing fan expectations, which is obviously second to managing injury expectations, right? Like you should always manage the fan second, obviously. So I think you put it correctly when you say it like that, which is to say fans don't deserve anything. The media doesn't deserve to hear anything. And if mm-hmm. you say, and if it maybe there is a little ambiguity around the injury, then you're correct in saying you would do a disservice to everyone aboard to set a hard and fast deadline only to miss it because, you know, right, setting expectations can really be the biggest downfall of emotional management more than anything else. And maybe that's just what they're looking for. All right, we're going to get into some of these games over the weekend here in a second. We're going to get into it's Friday, right? Lock it up. After the break, I'll tell you why I'm a little flustered for this podcast. First, we're going to talk about our friends over at betonline.ag. Fastest, easiest way to get your bets in on all your sports action. Football's over, but that's okay because basketball is ramping up right now. March Madness, NBA every night. BetOnline has you covered for every single thing you need when it comes to betting. They also cover you for TV shows and reality shows as well. So anything you're looking to get your hands on from a betting angle, they have it for you on BetOnline. Head on over to the website right now, sign up, and you're going to get sign up for free, make a deposit, and you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus with that first deposit. But you have to use the promo code LOCKEDON right now. Go to BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And you, of course, got to check out Peter Bukowski with Locked On Today. He's got you covered under 20 minutes, all the news you need. Be sure to subscribe to that podcast. Peter's doing it right. Little footnote before we move into some of these matchups, I will say, this will be revisionist history if I look back and all of a sudden down the stretch, some very devastating news comes out about Kevin Durant and the injury. Then I'll start to have a problem. Then I'll start to be at Barclays Center pounding on Steve Nash's and Sean Marks's door demanding an explanation. But that being said, we'll wait and see and we'll keep optimism high. In regards to the upcoming schedule, obviously tonight they're going to be taking on the Orlando Magic. I wouldn't call them a team that strikes fear into the hearts of the opposition. But you can touch on that game if you want, and maybe what we want to see out of these role players, because that does tie over from what we got in this last game against the Pacers and this theme since Nicholas Claxton has come back, and then we've also gotten Jeff Green back from that little shoulder injury. So there are some new wrinkles to this rotation. This Friday game, and then also over the weekend, we'll get the Washington Wizards. Do you have anything that you're going to say, okay, show me this over these next two games? Maybe obviously beyond Harden or beyond Kyrie, who will be back tonight. But what about these others, right? As we say, the others, what are they going to need to show us here maybe in a couple game sample size over the weekend?
Well, so first off, with Washington and Orlando, these are two of the worst teams in basketball. There's really no other way to say it. Orlando going into, going into Friday, they were 13-26. Obviously, they're 14 games back. Washington, 14-25. So these are teams, even though Washington had kind of like, I don't know, started to look like they were going to turn something around, but not really. These are two of the worst teams in all of basketball. So the Nets, even in their current iteration, should be able to make pretty quick work of them. And we're probably getting spoiled in terms of like what's been able to happen with these teams, even when they've been playing good ones, playing shorthanded. But you feel like you need to walk away with two wins for starters, right? Like this is even with James Harden on the team alone and what he's able to do, and then you know you're getting Kyrie back for Friday as well. Like these pretty much have to be two wins. Although we're at a point now, I hate to say this and kind of hate to sound greedy around it, but
wins
we're
don't
at a point
anymore.
Yeah, we're. I mean, they've given themselves such a cushion at this point that like. I don't know, 28-13 without Durant. They're gonna make the play. They're gonna make the playoffs. I'm kind of being serious. I don't want to get to this point of like the games don't matter. They do matter. They're much more fun to talk about when they win. So I want them to win every single night. But in terms of like do these games against Washington and Orlando really matter? They really don't, right? Like, you want them to win. You want to check the box. I think the number one seed is going to be helpful when it's all said and done, because that might be like the difference between the Knicks and Bulls, as opposed to maybe like the Celtics are kind of down there right now. Maybe the Hawks, like these other teams that are getting into the seeding piece of it. You'd much rather play the Knicks or the Bulls or even the Pacers. Like, we saw these are the teams that are fighting around the AC, as opposed to the Hawks or like Toronto's kind of hanging around here at 17 and 23. By the way, credit to our boy Gotham Reckoning over on Twitter, one of the better follows when it comes to just Nets Twitter. But he had mentioned this the other night, and looking at the standings, saying that there are some kind of teams that you're not going to want to face if you're the Nets, because they've kind of trended down here because of injury stuff. The Raptors are definitely one of these teams. They've had a terrible run with COVID stuff. They've had a terrible run of injuries. If that team was healthy and snuck into the eighth seed, that could be kind of a problem, right? Like, so there is probably some seeding stuff. By the way, I've talked myself in a complete circle here, but like there is some seeding stuff that you probably want to avoid.
These games don't matter, but also there could be some reasons you want to make sure you check a couple of W's. But to your point, though, I think that that'll be the monitoring as you work through this schedule. So again, the wins from a record standpoint might not matter, but the seeding will matter. So the Nets could be keeping an eye on some of those lower seeds and saying, how do we kind of try to, which is always a dangerous game, by the way, and I don't think players think about it this way. Maybe we do as fans, of how do you try to manipulate your wins and losses down the stretch to give yourself the best chance for the easiest matchup, right?
Yeah, I think down the stretch you're going to do it. And I think this year is going to be different than other years, because most years with basketball, you finish with the record you're supposed to have. Like, that's just the nature of basketball, is that in the end, by the time this year it's 72, but in typical seasons, the 82 games are done. The team that had the best team had the best record, and the next best team had the next best record, and the worst team had the worst record. Like, that's just what happens over the course of basketball, because everyone from teams to players regress to their mean, and you just get the performance you're going to get. So Pythagorean records usually typically reflect like whatever your actual win-loss record is. This season is different, though, because there's been so much weirdness around different teams with COVID and missing games and having games canceled and injuries and all this other stuff, that you are probably going to see a situation where the bottom of the seeding doesn't line up with, there's a possibility where it's not a cakewalk situation all the way through, right? Like, if one of these better teams, like Miami, basically just fought themselves out of the AC by being pretty good over the last couple weeks, right? And now they're in the fourth seed, but it's a pretty tight grouping around here. It starts to separate when you get to the Bucks and the Nets and the Sixers. And the Sixers just lost Embiid, so we'll see what happens with them over the short term. So I think you are going to be in a situation where one, seeding probably will end up mattering, except it's going to be sort of like luck of the draw when you get to that point anyway. So you really wouldn't have been able to manipulate it too much. You might just run bad. You might just run on the wrong side of COVID here, because it would just ended up being like a Toronto in a normal season would never have been the eighth seed, let's say. Right? like if they just not canceled games and had guys sitting out because of health protocols and all this other stuff. Like, they haven't had their core team for like a week and a half now or something like that, and they're finally getting them back. So in a typical season, they would never be 17-23, but they are this season. But also, like, maybe in a regular season where the Knicks have like not had any injuries, maybe they wouldn't even be the AC, because they'd be further down, let's say, right? And so I guess my overall point is the wins probably do matter more than I'm saying that they do, because you should definitely get these wins. And there is going to be a little bit of a luck of the draw piece when it's all said and done, because there's probably just going to be either a bad team that kind of lucked its way into having that AC, or a very good team that really kind of ran on the wrong side of just injuries and players missing games over the course of the season that shouldn't have been this low, and then you just happen to get unlucky and have to play.
Yeah, and you mentioned Toronto. I mean, they're slightly over the plus minus differential, and they're an outlier there.
Well, this is what I mean about Pythagorean record. Like, their Pythagorean record is basically just like a fancy way to say what their record should be if the amount of points they've scored and the amount of points they've given up reflected in actual wins and losses. This team is actually, it should be an above 500 team. They're not. They're six games below 500 because of bad luck and whatever else has happened for them, right? Yeah, but right, like their plus minus is positive.
Right, they should be further up.
And by the way, this does exactly. This was actually my case for why Lloyd Pierce shouldn't have been fired for the Hawks. Is like, they got devastated by injuries and still had outscored teams over the course of the year.
Yep. You know?
So like, is there now they've won? They basically won all the games since he got fired because they've won like six games in a row. So what do I know? But like, they also kind of started to get healthy around that time too. So anyway, a long story short is I started with this by saying the wins don't matter, and then I'm going to shift it and say maybe just try to win as much as you can and whatever. So there you go. That's how over the course. So that's over the course of 10 minutes, you just go from one thought and completely flip it into the other thought.
And by the way, too, like one extra piece here, if you want to, you know, some of the little nuts and bolts of it, it's hard because there's the pre-Harden days and then the post-Harden days, but the Nets are 16 and 6, excuse me, at home versus 12 and 7 on the road, both positive records. But I think it is important. And one thing that you have heard from Harden very consistently over the last couple of weeks is like he's already brought that up. Home court advantage. We want to be a top seed. We want to have that mentality. And I do wonder how much maybe that permeates for him, having, you know, coming from Houston, a team that wasn't always the one or two seed in the Western Conference, and knowing what that could cost you and what the benefit was when he got to play in front of a home crowd or a home arena and that comfort level. So I think about those things also continue to push a team to want to get better. The other benefit here before we move into our, of course, fan favorite Lock It Up segment. The other big thing to me is when you have players in these roles like Jeff Green or now Nicholas Claxton, right? Nicholas Claxton is just starting to get into his rhythm and identify himself with these other players. You got Shamet hitting his stride a little bit, Tyler Johnson flashing. Like when you have talented role players like this that are kind of firing on all cylinders, and no matter what the record is or the situation, they're always trying to prove something because they are the role players. That makes it, and I mean it's negatively, like it's hard to lose games when guys are playing that hard with that consistency. You don't get the drop off, right? Even when Harden was off the court against the Pacers the other night and you didn't have Kyrie Irving, listen, did they tread water a little bit? Sure. Did they need Harden to win that game? Of course. But also, all those dudes were ready to go all out to win a quote unquote meaningless game against the Pacers at the end of March, right? So that's where I think you're just going to continue to see them tack on some of these wins as well. But it'll be interesting to watch and see if Steve Nash and his coaching staff makes any shifts, if Kyrie gets extra rest, etc., or if James Harden gets some rest, because so far he's been that proverbial iron horse for this team. But before we do get into the Lock It Up segment, Douglas, could you share with the people just a little bit about Built Bar?
Oh, we got to talk about Built Bar right now. Built Bar madness is going on right now. Buddy, cue up the matchup here for Friday while I talk to you about Built Bar. Built Bar, best tasting protein bar on the market right now. And you're 100% covered in chocolate, also 100% healthy for you, which when you hear the flavors, you'll just never even believe it, that this is part of a protein bar that's actually good for you. Great for if you're on the keto diet, low in sugar, high in protein. Built Bar, best tasting bars out there. And like I said, this whole entire week, you know Built Bar is great because they know they're great, because they did a bracket challenge in time for the NCAA piece where they just put 64 of their flavors up against each other and just had them duke it out for whatever the best flavor was going to be. Go find another brand of anything that has 64 flavors where you actually need to think about it and can cause some actual internal debate. Just go check out the Locked On NBA channel for if you want to see if there's actual like real stakes going on this thing, because people have really leaned into what Built Bar flavors they like. Do you have the matchup for today?
Oh, buddy, it's the enticing round 8 right now with salted caramel going up against cookie dough chunk.
And by the way, not ice cream flavors, protein bar flavors. I'll take salted caramel. I'm a salt and sweet kind of guy, so I'll take salted caramel all day right there. If you want to get in on the Built Bar madness, go to builtbar.com or at Twitter or on Twitter at bar underscore built. When you buy Built Bar for the first time at builtbar.com, use locked15 to get 15% off your first order. It's locked15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com, and go back and check who won today's matchup to become the best tasting protein bar.
And we need that fantasy basketball advice. Have a reliable source, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. It's Josh Lloyd. We all know how good he is. We follow him rather than any other fantasy basketball podcast. The numbers are great. They give you all the advice you need. Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to enjoy that for yourselves. And now, friends, it's time for that fan favorite segment.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up. That is right. And this is perfect because let's tie it all together like a nice bow. It's what you call being a pro's pro in the business. Blake Griffin will not be making his debut tonight for the Brooklyn Nets. So we're still waiting for that. And it is a little interesting. Makes me wonder what was going on in Detroit if he was playing through something that the Brooklyn Nets can afford to give some time to. But lock it up, Doug. Blake Griffin will not make his debut over the weekend.
I say he doesn't make it over the weekend. I think they still start to ramp it up here. I'm going to say lock it up. He does not make his debut over the weekend, although I hope he does because I want to see him. I think they're in a good place now, and if you're going to start him, have him start against a couple – or excuse me, no, they're not going to start him. If you're going to have him play against one of these weaker squads. But I'm going to say lock it up. He does not play this weekend.
So then, because you're going into the next week where you have a Tuesday matchup against the Trailblazers and then the Wednesday matchup against the Utah Jazz, formidable Utah Jazz right now, it does make me wonder, because you just mentioned there, if not then, it'll be curious to see when he makes his debut, a Friday tilt against his former team, the Detroit Pistons. Let's do that old-fashioned record here. Lock it up, Brooklyn Nets 2-1 next week at Portland, at Utah, at Detroit.
I say Utah has been so good this year. Portland's getting CJ back, or they got CJ back, ramping him up on the minutes. Detroit should be a win. I'm going to say 1-2 because they bought themselves some wins. I know that fans aren't going to want to hear that. A little bit of a target on the back right now with the Nets too, especially for some of these bigger teams. People, look, we've been talking to people in the industry too a lot. Every time we talk to someone, it's like Nets are going to win the championship. This is what other teams, especially people that cover other teams, are saying right now. Nets fans, this can't even believe this is where you are. So I think there is a target on your back situation happening with the Nets. And so I'm going to say 1-2, and I just like to continue to kind of like be the sort of like still weirdly playing the underdogs. They don't have Durant, so I'll take that part of the narrative as well.
Let's just be clear here too, though. If you say 1-2, I'm going to assume you put them down for a win against Detroit, which means Doug Norrie has the Brooklyn Nets losing back-to-back games on the road on the West Coast, with Portland and Utah in the Western Conference.
Yeah, it's just a little hedge. It's more of an emotion. Yeah, yeah. It's more of an emotional hedge than an actual thing. I continue to be surprised by the team. The team continues to think punch above its weight, really, in terms of how good they've played without Durant. Like, I think that this is still a team that really probably had no business winning that game against Indiana. I hate to say it, but based on the minutes and the players they were playing, everyone, again, like I say, punching above their weight, because I think that's really what they've done in this time. They've really kind of, and without Irving too, like they just kind of bought into this team mentality that I really appreciate. So I think that's where I kind of sometimes wait for the other shoe to drop in terms of looking at what their actual personnel is and looking at the teams they're going to beat. And like I said, Utah is just like a legit good team. I know they played them already, but like this has been a very, very good team this season. So, I think I'm going to emotionally hedge. I have a lock it up. Hit an all time? You can lock this one up or down or whatever. What do we want to do? It's nice to get confused by the segments. Lock it up. My most embarrassing pre-podcast moment ever before we started recording. Would you say that? Can we lock it up that I will never have a more embarrassing technical snafu? I'll walk people through it. But do you think I ever hit rock bottom like I did before this podcast started today?
So many to choose from. You know, there's so many to choose from. But that might have been the gold standard of unfortunate fails ahead of the podcast.
Well, you're not going to beat this one. You're not going to beat this one. So I'll just walk people through it before we get out of here for the weekend, just so everyone can feel good about themselves for not doing this, like for being like competent what they do. So feel good, everybody. Is that we're about to record the podcast. We record the same exact way every single time, Adam and I. It's why it's so efficient and good and all the superlatives. But we have a very clear intention that every time we jump on, we know exactly the beats we're going to hit. We know, you know, pretty much what we're going to say. We know importantly, we know exactly how we're going to record the podcast, which is to say we know how to hit the record button and start talking and then edit it together. Except for some reason today, my thing was just not recording. Both of us are on tech support right now. Like this, like, you know, the Google tech support, like what happens when GarageBand's not doing this? What happens here? Reset the drivers, reset the computer, clear this out. 20 minutes later, we're still looking at it. The problem? Didn't plug the microphone in. There you go. Like that's the problem with tech support, is when the problem is such a donkey move, like the tech support's never going to drill down all the way to it. It's like, hey, yeah, I know your computer doesn't work. Did you see if it was plugged in? You're like, of course I checked if it was plugged in. Like it's the first
thing.
The power's
on, right? Obviously the computer is on, right, sir?
I'm moving it around. I'm unplugging the other end of it. I'm moving everything around. I'm cursing that my computer's broken and GarageBand did something behind the scene, blah, 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 blah. In the end, just didn't plug the microphone in, everybody. So on that note, the way you can support this perfect and very technically sound podcast is to rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars or bust. Hey, you want to make fun of us a little bit because I can't plug the microphone in? That's fine, but just make sure you still give it 5 stars. Rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, you can help us out. Again, totally free. Go follow us, Locked On Nets on Twitter. We're getting really close to 1,000 Twitter followers. I would love to crest over that number for some reason. It's just like feels good in my mind to get over that, get into those four digit territory on Twitter. So Locked On Nets is what you can do over on Twitter. Give us a follow.
Hey, if we didn't do what we loved, we wouldn't exist. Adonis Creed.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again next week. I was going to say tomorrow. Next week, talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.